Of course, Suns, the big story for today. They're up 1-0 in the Western Conference Finals over the L.A. Clippers. And here to talk Suns basketball with us from ArizonaSports.com, the one, the only, Kellen Olson on the Coulter Automotive Group Sports Line. Kellen, how are you?
Hey, doing well. Thanks for having me.
Give us your best adjective to describe the performance of Devin Booker on Sunday.
Certainly not reckless. It was fantastic. I think something that became obvious for me, at least, when I was watching back the three games these teams played against each other, was that the Clippers just aren't as airtight on their defensive rotations as a team like Phoenix. And Phoenix might be the best team in the league at it, but the Clippers are just often loose. And that's something that you risk when you're switching so much, because there's not enough communication. You can't even have enough communication to recover the way that you need to in those types of situations. And it was going to be, I was curious to see if that carried over to the first meeting between these teams in the Western Conference Finals. And even in the first couple of minutes, when we saw the Suns generating good looks but not getting them to fall, you could see that was still the case, where the Clippers' recoveries off of passes and stuff just weren't good enough. And the thing that we've seen about the Suns really ever since the midway point of that Lakers series is that they hit their true form and just their highest ceiling as an offensive team, playing point five, everyone knowing what they have to do as ball movers, and then just moving themselves physically as well around the court. And you look at 31 assists and 7 turnovers, that was led by Book. And then at some point, like mid-second quarter, with the way Payne and Booker as well were both dissecting the defense, it just became clear, like, this is too easy for them right now. And the Clippers are going to have to find another answer. And their answer, unfortunately, they couldn't have one, because Book got scorching hot in that third quarter. And in the fourth quarter, they had to send extra attention his way, or else he was going to just keep scoring on him.
Yeah.
And he kept just making the right pass. He got assist after assist, and they just added up. And that's what a superstar does.
All right. There was a return to normalcy in the arena. Kellen Olson and others were allowed to sort of actually take part in something of a real live press conference afterwards. And I thought it was fascinating listening to various accounts of Chris Paul's involvement and just everything that sort of went into the stew of playing game one without Chris Paul. Your thoughts on all of that?
That was the big question for me in this first game, was not only looking at Chris Paul not being on the court, but even when he's not playing, he is coaching everything. Dan, you're there with me, sitting next to me during these games, and you'll see him just on the bench coaching pretty much. He just basically turns into an assistant coach when he gets on the bench, and when he's a coach on the floor as well. He just never stops talking to really anyone about what's going on during the game. So that is something that you just inevitably you get used to, right? You get used to having that extra assistance from someone like Chris to help you put together the game over the course of it, and they were just without it. And I mean, he was just left at home just to watch the game, and the Suns were going to be missing that part of his contribution. And I think that the Suns at this point are just such a well-oiled machine as a team that it really didn't matter that much. And I think something that Gamble brings up a lot is, like, styles make fights, right? And looking at this matchup specifically, with the way the Clippers defend and what I mentioned previously, it's just such a great matchup for the Suns with the way they move the ball. And that just makes missing Chris hurt a little less. But there were certainly moments in that game where they missed him. Speaking to those interactions, Dan, Jay Crowder said the last 3 minutes were certainly a moment where he looked around and was like, man, where the hell is Chris right now? Like, they could really use him right now. And you just get used to him bailing you out of those fourth quarters, or just locking it up in the fourth quarter so many times. But they didn't need him last night because they had Devin Booker.
Yeah. Kellen Olson, our guest here on the Coulter Automotive Group Sports Line. In the absence of Chris Paul, it went the way we expected it to, or at least I expected it to, with Cameron Payne getting the start, Etuan Moore as the first guard off the bench. I thought Cameron Payne played well, certainly better later than early in the game. Etuan Moore kind of struggled in his 10 minutes and 44 seconds. If Chris Paul can't go in game two, would you expect Monty to stick with Etuan as that third guard?
I think so. I think he'll give him one more game.
Mm-hmm.
The problem with Etuan is that his one – you talk about how far we are in the playoffs, right? Like, we're in the Western Conference Finals, and at this point, any little weakness in a team or a player just gets exploited relentlessly. We saw it with Rudy Gobert last round. And Etuan's thing is he just doesn't have a lot of speed. And you saw Patrick Beverley, Reggie Jackson, Rondo, whoever it was, when they were guarding him, they were all over him and just not allowing him to get any space because they know that he can't really create it. And then on the defensive end, Reggie Jackson blew by him a couple of times. Uh-huh. And that's the type of thing where you look at Javon Carter, at least defensively, where he could help them. But the problem with switching to Javon as opposed to Etuan is that Etuan is a much more sound player off the dribble. And that's not really where Javon's game is. He's not much of a point guard in that regard. He's a better shooter, though, and he's obviously the better defender. So I think that balancing act will be interesting. I wonder if Monty makes some rotation changes later in the series to the point of just seeing more point book. When he went on that huge scoring run at the end of the third, that was without a point guard on the floor, and then, of course, he closed the game with that as well. Mm-hmm. I wonder if he looks for those little pockets of space to not include Moore or Carter or Payne. Because he already did in that game.
When you went back and started doing your video review of Game 1, what other observations jumped out at you upon second viewing?
I think it's one of those things, Dan, when you watch the Clippers really trying to work the Marcus Morris postgame and the DeMarcus Cousins postgame, and you go like, man, this seems kind of desperate. Like, you guys are just looking, they felt like Marcus Morris was a really good matchup against Torrey Craig, who's like a great defender, and I think all of us here would disagree with that. But they don't really have any other options offensively. That's just where they're at without Kawhi Leonard. When you have a team built like that around two superstars, you don't have much in the third, fourth, fifth options. And they were just looking for a lot of offense in other areas. I think the thing that gets lost in that game and the way that Devin just took it over and finished it is that if Paul George wasn't playing as phenomenally as he was for those three quarters, we're talking about that typical run-of-the-mill Suns game where they're up 8 to 15 points pretty much the entire time, right? Mm-hmm. Like, that's the type of game that it was. And the shots that Paul George was hitting were ridiculous. They were really well defended. I thought they did a pretty good job defending him overall. I'm curious to see if they start to trap him or blitz him. DeAndre was dropping on ball screens when Zubac was in, and that was giving George space to pull up into his three. But outside of that, they made it really difficult on him. And I just wonder how the Clippers can score without that. You look at these three series that we've seen, and that's been the big question for the opposition. And in all three of them now, I think it'll be is just how can they create more offense. The Nuggets struggled with it. The Lakers did. And I think the Clippers are going to as well.
Yep. Kellen, great stuff as always. We appreciate the time, man.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you. Kellen Olson, ArizonaSports.com. And I'm not just saying this. You really will not find any better Suns coverage than you're going to find on ArizonaSports.com during this playoff
very
run.
That's very true. In fact, after the game was over, it was at halftime, and I sit right next to Kellen, a young Suns fan came up and just wanted to shake Kellen's hand and thank him for the great content. And that's a sign when you are reaching people.
Yeah. I can't speak to anybody else and how they cover games, but I before the game yesterday, I kind of stand up and I stretch out before the game and I looked around. And Kellen Olson comes down from the media section. He comes down to an empty seat, and he is so intently watching everything that's going on in warm-ups, how guys are stretching, how they're shooting. He is so in tune with everything that's going on.
No, it's the hours he puts into the job are the reason why that content is what it is.
To summarize,
and you should be applauded for that.
To summarize,
what a dork!
Yeah, Jarrett's back in case you're just tuning in.